Well, it's good to be with you this morning and have the opportunity to be part of the journey of the Gospel of Mark and to explore the Gospel of Mark. And as we've heard the scripture read to us today, we come and center our thoughts on it and consider the question of how the kingdom of God grows, Well, as we read the Gospel of Mark, it invites us to consider the ministry of Jesus and the centrality of the kingdom of God in regard to that ministry, that the kingdom of God is the main game for Jesus. It's what he is about. It's proclaiming the kingdom of God. It's showing the kingdom of God to people as he goes about ministry, as he brings healing, as he speaks words, as he performs miracle. It's all about revealing the kingdom of God. And in our parables today, Jesus reminds us of two truths about the kingdom of God. They focus in on how the kingdom of God grows, which is vital information for us as individuals, because we want to grow in our relationship with God. We want to enjoy that relationship with God. We want to be doing what God wants us to do, and also for the ministry of the church which God has commissioned. It was Jesus who, in a post-resurrection appearance, instructed the disciples with this command in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The disciples were to be active. They were to be active in this ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God. When we are in the process of an activity, we often need to be reminded about the purpose of that activity. And if we don't get a good focus on what we're supposed to be doing, then other little offshoots, little ideas can come along and they can take our focus off what the main game is. And in some cases, these little activities, these little offshoots, can indeed replace the main game of what we are supposed to be about. In the parables we've heard today, I believe that Jesus is encouraging his disciples with some teaching about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God grows, that they would indeed stick to the main game, the proclaiming of the gospel, the good news. In life, we know that it's important to stick to the main game of what we're about. The other day, Elaine and I went along to our local Bunnings where our grandson works, and it was lunchtime, and our grandson Jackson, who's been there a few months now and is enjoying working for Bunnings, was to be found in the Bunnings cafe, and he was eating his lunch and we found him there, and his lunch consisted of two pies and the chocolate milk, and I sat with my mere cup of coffee and thought, oh, long for the days when I could eat two pies and something else and not show. But Jackson is as thin as thin can be. The point is that the cafe at Bunnings where he works is an offshoot to their main business, which is all about, you know, building supplies, hardware, gardening, lighting, etc. They've got it. I'm not sure even that the cafe pays its way. I don't think that it would. It's not part of their core business. People who go to Bunnings on the whole don't go there because they can go and sit in the cafe and eat a pie or have a cup of coffee. In these parables that Jesus was sharing with his disciples, let me reinforce right at the start, he wanted to encourage them to stick to the main game, to explain to them about the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God grows, that indeed that they would take that with them. Now, the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed occur in the same chapter, and they follow on from the parable of the sower. There is a little linking passage in between that, but on the whole, they follow on from the parable of the sower. And it is true that the parable of the growing seed, the first parable that we heard, only occurs in the Gospel of Mark. However, our two parables we have for consideration today carry on the theme of Jesus talking about, if you like, the things of the land, the things that would have been familiar for the people there in ancient Palestine. Now, can I suggest that if the disciples were feeling a little discouraged after the parable of the sower, where the seed sown on the path, the seed sown on the rocky ground, the seed sown among thorns does not ultimately produce a crop, and only seed in the good soil produces a harvest for the kingdom of God, then our two parables today would be an encouragement to those disciples to stick to the main game, the kingdom of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And he encourages them by alluding to the fact that the kingdom of God grows. The disciples would come to understand that the kingdom of God, like the seed spoken of in the first parable, the parable of the seed, can grow on its own. It has its own energy. And secondly, in the other parable, the parable of the mustard seed, that from something small, something much larger will come. Well, first of all, the kingdom of God grows on its own. Jesus begins the parable of the growing seed by saying, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." In other words, what I'm about to tell you has direct reference to the kingdom of God. And let's be in no doubt about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God being where the presence of Jesus is. The kingdom of God where eternity is. The kingdom of God where true relationship between humanity and God exists. The scripture reveals this, and it's good for us to just pause and just remind ourselves of what was said again. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. We remember Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He wants to build them up, encourage them in the task of proclaiming the kingdom of God, the sharing of the good news. And in the parable of the growing seed, the seed has the power to grow whilst it first lies beneath the surface and is not visible. The success of the seed is found in the seed itself. The success of the seed is found in the seed itself. Donald English, who was one of my dusty commentaries that I found on my bookshelf, I started to have a look at what he had to say. He says this: "For the moment here in Mark, Jesus is encouraging his disciples, as in everything else, not to judge only by what is observable on the surface, any more than they would judge a harvest just after the seed had been sown. There is a hidden energy at work below the surface as the gospel message is preached and enacted." We know from our own experience that God sends the sun and the rain. In other words, God has it all in hand to make seed grow. And the sun and the rain come from the same source as the original seed. And for us, God gives us everything we need for the kingdom of God to be present in our lives and in the life of the church. And God has given us his word to do that. The word of God encourages us. It brings to us life in the kingdom, kingdom growth. Let me share a scripture from the Old Testament book of Isaiah 55:10-11 that says this, and this verse is from the New Living Translation. "The rain and the snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Perhaps you've come across the phrase glass half full or glass half empty in your travels. And we understand the phrase glass half full or glass half empty to mean that perhaps it's a person who can see the opportunity which is the glass half full person, or the glass half empty person who's a bit more pessimistic and can only see the problems of which they are confronted with. It's always good to be around people who are looking for the opportunity to be achieved rather than looking for the problem. I think Jesus is saying to his disciples, be optimistic. Something is always happening with the kingdom of God. Be confident and sow the seed. I think Jesus is saying to us today that we should be an optimistic people in regard to the kingdom of God. If we look in the world around us, we can find that the seeds of the kingdom of God are being planted and that they are growing on their own. They have their own energy. And I'm hopeful that you, like us, Elaine and myself, have a story to tell about seeds that are sown for the kingdom of God. As I was preparing for today, in the last week or two, normally on a Wednesday during the week, Elaine and I go into a little local cafe in a shopping centre up where we live. And it's a small shopping centre, so there's not much noise around there. And we found ourselves in this local cafe where we live having lunch, and we heard the seed of the kingdom of God being sown. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression about myself, that I eavesdrop on other people's conversations. But on this occasion, in this quiet shopping centre, whilst I was contemplating what I was about to eat and have lunch, there was a man and wife sitting close to us at another table, and they were in conversation with another man, and the conversation was all about an invitation to the Alpha course at their church. Those of you here perhaps have participated in an Alpha course would know that the Alpha course is the introductory to Christianity, for all its I guess perhaps some people consider it has some faults and failings, I don't know, but it's done a lot of good in the Christian world. Well, on this occasion, I was eavesdropping, and I heard this conversation, as Elaine did as well, between this husband and wife, I assume, and this man sitting across the table to them, and they were talking about the Alpha course to this particular gentleman. And my heart was warm because he was receiving the invitation about what they were saying with an open mind and an open heart. Even when they said to him about how many weeks, and those of you who've done the Alpha course, you know that it goes for quite a few weeks. Even when they said to this gentleman, it goes on for this amount of time, he was happy to receive the invitation. They told him where it was. And afterwards, they had obviously built the relationship with the guy, because after they finished their conversation about the Alpha course, and then I stopped listening, they continued on to talk for some time. But it was an illustration to me that the seed had been sown. The seed that has the energy to grow. The kingdom of God grows on its own. So that's the parable of the seed. The kingdom of God grows on its own. Now, the parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God grows large. The kingdom of God grows large. As is his way, Jesus uses something familiar for the people to think about. And in the second parable, he does the same again as he tells us what the kingdom of God is like. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. So Jesus, in telling this parable, is saying that from something very small grows something very large in comparison to its beginning. The mustard seed, it seems, grows into something like a tree that Jesus describes as the largest of all garden plants. And then he references this by saying that the branches are so big that the birds can perch. The birds can come and perch in its shade. If you have planted something in its infancy, whether they be plants or trees, then you know that it's true that from something small, something much larger can grow. Sometimes if you've done that in your garden, you have that aha moment of where you turn around and you look into your garden one day and you just marvel at the growth that has taken place in the plants and trees. That from something so small, whether from a cutting or from a small seed, something much larger grows and grows and grows. As Jesus is telling his disciples this parable, can I suggest that he was trying to encourage them that what they were doing in regard to proclaiming the kingdom of God was not in vain? Now, we could go into the Gospels and we could look into the Gospels and we would know that they faced opposition as they travelled with Jesus, that there were the opponents to the ministry of Jesus as he revealed the kingdom of God to people. For as he went about, opposition came from the Jewish establishment, from the Pharisees, from the teachers of the law, just to name some of the main opponents. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that although the task of growing the kingdom of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God, might seem overwhelming, but that from a small beginning, the kingdom of God would grow into something large. The kingdom of God would grow into something large. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, we see a messianic promise referring to Jesus. With the same ideas of birds being able to nest in a tree that is provided by God, the idea of the tree with the branches for the birds to nest in, with reference to how the kingdom of God looks like. And when we think about that, that by faith people can belong to the kingdom of God, and that the tree is the shelter for all those who seek after God. But this reference from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 17, verses 22 to 23 says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shades of its branches. Don't you love that last sentence there? Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. The proclamation of the kingdom of God in this parable of the mustard seed, from something small, something much larger grows. And when we think about the kingdom of God is open to all people, to all nations, to come into relationship with God. We can encourage ourselves to think that the kingdom of God grows large by learning about where the kingdom of God is growing in our world today. And friends, it is growing in our world today. Disciples are being made. You can read reports online from all sorts of Christian ministries about what is going on in the kingdom of God. Whether it's growth in Asia, whether it's growth in Africa, Latin America, whether it's people being baptized into the church here in Australia, it is happening. The other day I was reading a theological journal and they were discussing a conference that they had in a place in the north of England, in Carlisle. And it was a small conference with not so many people in attendance, about 80 people. But people gave testimony to what was going on in their little village in Scotland or their little village in the north of England. People coming into the kingdom of God. So we can encourage ourselves with this parable of the mustard seed to know that from something small, something large is happening. Jesus got his point across to his disciples about the kingdom of God growing large. And the evidence that he got his point across is found in the Acts of the Apostles. Because if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, by faith, how they proclaimed the kingdom of God. And we would read, as Peter spoke, we would read about thousands of people coming to faith, receiving Jesus into their lives. So what do we take for ourselves this morning as we've thought about these two parables, the parable of the seed, the growing seed, and the parable of the mustard seed? Well, just as Jesus encouraged his disciples with these two parables that the kingdom of God grows on its own and the kingdom of God grows large, let us also be encouraged as we live out our life of faith in the community that we find ourselves in. We should remember that the seed of the kingdom of God has its own power, has its own power. And what God wants from us is that we would be, if you like the farmer or like the person who sows the seed, that we would sow the seed because the seed has the power, its own energy in itself. We should also remember that the kingdom of God continues to grow. It grows large. And if we just focused for a moment, if we thought about when Jesus spoke these parables for the first time, and then if we can fast forward our mind to us today, we would see that it's true. The kingdom of God grows large. It is growing large. I like this verse that Jesus said from Luke 13, verse 29, and a verse that reminds us, if you like, about that imagery that we got of the birds nesting in the tree that we got both in our parable and in the book of Ezekiel. The verse is still up there. When Jesus said this, people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you this morning and we thank you that your word speaks to our hearts and our minds as we have gathered here. And we pray that in our own lives that we would be confident that the kingdom of God grows. And that as seeds are sown in the proclamation of the gospel and the proclamation of the kingdom of God, that indeed that we would believe that that seed that is sown has its own energy and in that everything has been done for that seed to grow. And so help us to be confident in that. Also, help us to be confident people as we consider that from something very small, as Jesus was wandering with his disciples in ministry, that the kingdom of God is growing, that the kingdom of God continues to grow. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us about the part that we can play in this kingdom of God, which is growing. And we just pray that in our own lives that we are faithful to that which you call us to, that which you have equipped us to do, that we would play our part as the disciples played their part all those centuries ago as they proclaimed the kingdom of God. And so we thank you for the time that we've had together this morning, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.